This is September 29th, 2008, a historical day, economically, spiritually, physically, chemically, astrally, and also on a personal level. We're having a reunion between Bob Carr, author of God, Men, Con Men, and Dave Worster, the second medium for cosmic awareness. He did it from 1967 to 1974, 5, 6, 7, is gradually fading off. The thing is that Dave and Robert Carr, Dave Worster and Robert Carr, go back to late 56. Was that 52 years ago? They met at the Center of Integration, an operation organized by Robert Carr, the author of God, Men, Con Men. Dave and Robert became close friends. They were involved with the first LSD experiments with Captain Al Hubbard. But through the years, they lost contact, and apparently, according to our records, they, from somewhere between 69 and 73, didn't see much of each other, then saw each other in 73 in the fall, then in 86, and have not seen each other or talked to each other since the summer of 1986, 22 years ago. So this is the first time Dave Worster and Bob Carr, old friends, are talking together again. And in light of the Dave Worster concept of Rai returning to essence, and we're witnessing the collapse of Rai financially the last few days, it is sort of auspicious. So Dave and Bob, I'll say Bob Carr, say hello to Dave.
Hello, David.
Hello, Bob.
Welcome.
Lots of light around you.
Yeah.
Lots of light around you.
Okay, right. Dave said, lots of light around you, Bob.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Now, I moved the speakers again. There's no echo right now, right?
Right.
Okay, good. Maybe even the computer's a factor, so I'll put it here. All right, so Dave said, lots of light around you. I don't want to keep translating, but remember, when Bob Carr speaks, you might maybe pause for a second before you respond, Dave, because Bob might have another sentence to say.
All right.
Now, Dave, you say hello to Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, David.
Yeah, it's one of a miracle that what we're participating in.
Yeah. Well, it seems that you're doing okay, huh?
Oh, by the way, what time of day is it over there?
It's 11:10 right now in India.
All right. So it's 11:10. Is it 11 hours or 13 hours difference? Anyway, anyway, it's almost exactly across the globe. And as far as I'm concerned, I've been tuning in, you know, astrally. I've taken a few trips, and I mean, I've been taking trips all my life, but I mean, I have been taking a few trips lately and felt the your presence, and I don't know whether you have or not, but it seemed like so.
Robert?
Yeah, hello? Yeah,
hello.
I'm listening.
You have no comment on Dave commenting on his tips to you?
No.
You haven't been feeling them?
No, I've just been, day to day, living here with my friend. Carm's a good friend.
Now, what is your friend's name?
He is visiting me right now. Paul lives in Germany, Cologne. He's going to stay in India about a month. And we're just, interreacting and catching up, as it were. Might take a few jaunts here and there.
Are you acting in films?
A little, but not right now. I had a part in a film, and then it got delayed, and I don't know what the story is.
I could echo that on several different levels in the past. Yes.
Dave, let me just translate a bit. First off, Robert, you missed, Dave, you may have missed. Robert said he has Paul Arms, who you met in 86, visiting him right now.
Oh, really? Paul is there. Now, what's the name of his other friend? I forgot for the moment.
Your present roommate.
You sent me a picture.
Yeah, Dave has seen the picture of Kunal. Is that his name?
Kunal Sharma.
Thank you. Yeah, he's a lovely fellow. Is he in films?
Yeah, nice sweet guy.
Is he in films, Robert?
No, he's a newcomer. He's struggling.
Well, lots of light around him.
Okay, you'll be happy to hear that.
Yeah, it works.
Dave says.
Yeah.
I want to say this, is that David was saying on the time level, it's 11 o'clock, or just after 11 in the morning in India for Tuesday, and you're saying it's getting close to 11 at night in Seattle. That's what Dave was saying.
Yeah, so it's 11 hours difference from there to here, apparently, which means it's halfway around the globe.
That's good. You're waiting for a response. Okay. So
no, I'm tripping in my mind with that, you know.
Okay.
Of looking at the phenomena, which is kind of meaningful in this day and age. You know, we're 80 years old, and a lot has happened in our lifetimes. We've both taken different paths, but as far as I'm concerned, they're perfect paths because it leads to this perfect moment.
Just a minute, Dave. Bob blipped out. Okay, Bob, you're back? Robert?
Yeah, but all of a sudden it flipped out.
Yeah, it's going to happen. So, Dave, what was the last word you heard, Dave?
Oh, that's all right. We'll just go on as we can and get what energy comes through. Discovery of what's gone on during the time we've been apart is mostly just energy, but sometimes it's got some memory and recall, which is delightful to share.
Yeah, I just want to say, Dave, Robert, Dave was saying, do you remember the last words you heard, Robert?
No.
Okay, he was saying that you're both...
Actually, you were talking.
Okay, yeah. I didn't even notice you flipped out. Dave was saying that you're both 80 years old. I just want to repeat it, Dave, it was an important thought. You're both 80 years old, you've both taken different paths, but Dave says they're perfect, each path, what's happened. And you've been...
Because this is perfect.
Because this is perfect, he says. And it's also that you've seen so many changes as 80-year-olds.
Yeah, the world has really changed. And Asia's changed a great deal. Unfortunately, it's imitating the West in a way, which is becoming very, very, you know, involved in consumerism. And one thing that, you know, that game has been played out in the West almost, and now it's starting up here.
Yeah, the chickens are coming home to roost.
Hold it, David. I'll repeat that. But what was your last words, Robert?
I just see the world is changing, and it's becoming more and more the same all over. Like, I remember Agyananda. Remember David Agyananda?
Yes.
He said, the day will come, you can buy a hot dog any place in the world.
Yes.
In Bombay, at one of the malls here, they have American hot dogs on sale.
Yes. I love that man. I loved all of you, but that was true. He loved food, but the discovery of the hot dog and saying someday, I remember that.
You'll be able to buy it anywhere in the world.
Yes.
Robert, how
recently I was in Thailand, in Bangkok, visiting some friends, and Bangkok is like Los Angeles or New York. You can get anything you want there.
Yes.
And you know, food-wise, clothes-wise, tech, you know, anything. So
yeah, there's all the franchises are everywhere.
Hold it, Dave, hold it. What was that last bit, Robert?
One sees how the world is becoming the same.
Yes. Now, today, when the...
Let me just interrupt. Hey, Robert, when you finished what you were going to say, say finish.
Yeah.
Then we know, then David then can speak. But while you were saying those ideas, David said, the chickens have come home to roost in terms of we've run the western course, now the India's doing the west. Dave said the chickens come home to roost, and now he's going to say something else in response to what you said. Okay, Robert? Here goes, Dave.
Oh, yeah, well, I forgot what I was going to say now. Isn't that wonderful?
You were going to say about today. I think you were going to talk.
Oh, yes. Today, when the stock market crashed and went, the number was 777. And the number of congressmen who voted against that law was 133. Both of these are important numbers in numerology. You remember Aleister Crowley and some of his stuff featured it.
Yes.
So at that time, I did not have the television on. I didn't know about what was happening, but I had guests. And all of a sudden I told them, I says, I don't know what it is, but I feel a wave coming over me that is almost making me sick. And I got a call from Paul Seibel in Los Angeles. And the same thing at the same time happened there. I found two other people, and I'm sure there's more, that at the same time they felt this wave of it. I would call it almost like a psychic attack. But the main thing is, I believe it's an expression of the unconscious spread through everybody's minds, and therefore we're all feeling it at once. Anyway, I put a lot of light around it as it went through and passed it on.
Okay, hold it, Dave. Robert, Dave just ended by saying you put a lot of light around it. I just want to say this, Robert. 777 was the title of one of Crowley's books, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. I don't know, but the number is significant in occult terminology.
Yeah, but it had to do with the Christ.
Hold it. It's Robert.
Yes.
Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah. The American dream can't go on the way it is.
Right.
Resources left in the world for one body of people to have everything. The rest of the world is in need. And so every dog has its day, and America has had its day, in a sense, that you just can't... go on living the same way. It's got to adjust, as the rest of the world has to adjust. You can't live this high standard of living. It's just not possible anymore. So there's got to be some leveling out. And, of course, the financial structure is one of the components of our society and the world. So, yeah, we're doomed, in a sense. Can't help
yes.
We've got it coming. That's all I can say.
Yes, Bob, the main problem with the financial level was they got a chance to do what they wanted and no one stopped them until it was too late, which is actually symbolic of all kinds of levels that you've just been describing about America. And as this all comes down, a completely new order will form, and not in the concept of the former powers of what they wanted in the sense of a new world order. There's coming a new world order, but I think it's from the bottom up. rather than from the top down.
Okay, David. You know, I've always been a bit of a philosopher of sorts, and I look at things in a kind of a philosophical, viewpoint. The thing is that human beings, regardless of what race we belong to, what culture that we grew up in and are part of, have a fundamental flaw. And that flaw is what's behind all this commotion that's going on right now. And it's just a matter of time that the planet is not going to give support to human beings anymore. They've made a mess of it. And, this is really a... I don't see any solution to the human greed, the human problem, the defect in the human consciousness that's there, everywhere in the world. I don't know. Things will have to sort themselves out, and the best will survive, and that's what will happen.
Yes. Well, there was so much interference on so many different levels with everybody's lives that they didn't really live in present time together. And now that we've had this phenomena happen, as you say, it's almost like sink or swim for everybody that's been caught up in it. And some ways, that is probably very fortunate for us in the long haul, because the way it was going, it probably would have really resulted in a massive explosion of another sort. So I don't see a solution either. My attitude is that I just am here. I am aware. I'm seeing it happen. I was aware enough to see it coming and to sort of create a safe haven. And I hope that you have such a thing too, because it isn't the material, it's the level of vibrations around you that you managed to live in. And as I recall with you, that was very definitely a wonderful, wonderful thing, and apparently you still got it.
Okay, Robert?
Well, thank you, Ed. But, I don't know, where this is leading us exactly, but my interest primarily is in trying to live each day in such a way that there's a minimum of this conflictual nature that human beings are involved in. And that's basically what I'm, interested in, just living my own life. And
yes.
There's not much time left or any choices and so forth. And we do need to live in a kind of oasis, away from the mess, if we can. And so we need to unburden our consciousness so that our life is a little easier. But I don't see any fundamental change that's going to revolutionize human nature. It is what it is. And it's been that way for millions of years. And if human beings survive, the coming years of what is going to maybe take place, then so be it. But if they go, they go then, like the dinosaurs went.
Yeah, in the meantime, we have our refuse, so to speak. But other than that, we do have a front row seat.
Yeah, front row seat. So many things to talk about other than the doomsday.
Yeah.
That's just one thing. Anyway.
Robert, let me interject here. There's one thing. There is I think there's a difference, Dave. You think with the concept of Rai returning to essence that there is a change, and Bob wouldn't conceptualize it like that. He thinks it's the same thing. Can you comment on maybe the difference in what you're saying, what you two, quote, believe or experience?
Well, I could say it's a matter of timing. The timing that we live in a certain level, and I do it every day. In other words, this far-out stuff, I may experience in my room as I let myself go and experience it, go out and come back. But basically, in the nuts and bolts of everyday living, it's grounded. And the amount of energy it takes to ground can be less, and therefore the other levels can be more. But it's like when the whole world is banging on the panic buttons, it takes more energy to ground, and we get less energy to experience, we'll say, the spiritual level. Oh, by the way, Bob, when I first met you, within the first week or so, you were telling about being invited to speak with some other spiritual leaders, and when you got up on the dais, the Swami to your right turned to you and said, "Tell me about your spiritual experiences." And you laughed like hell, and I thought, well, now this is a guy I like. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, vaguely, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so what I was going to do is first pun.
Dave, wait, hold it. Robert's responding. Go ahead, Robert.
The guy's name was Chudbury.
Ha ha, yes!
Asian society in San Francisco.
So. Yes.
Tell me about your spiritual...
That's just the way you said it. Anyway, I was going to use that as an opening pun with you, because we hadn't seen each other for a long time, but I figure I better remind you the story before I said, "Tell me about your spiritual experiences." And I do understand that you have gone beyond a lot of that in the sense of not really believing anything, and I think you should know that that's pretty much my view too. I feel that belief is just a bundle of conditionings, and therefore not a level of good awareness or perception or even health. And so probably the way that I've kept going, and as healthy as I am, is because of not getting caught in the conditioning of the past, but have released it as a significance enough that it leaves my space and path clear. I hope that...
Okay, hold it, Dave. Hold it, Dave. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah. Well, for me, I mean, belief is a form of hope. And it seems that human beings are concerned with hope, you know, hope to get safe, secure, money, love, sex, sensation, you know. All this is what human beings are searching for. So, you know, when you see that this is a preoccupation and so forth, you begin to question one's culture, which is all full of hope and belief. The belief supports the concept of hope, you know, to get. So, yeah, I, it's not a question of not believing in one's culture or other cultures or spirituality and these things. I question everything because the reality is I really don't know anything at all. It's what I'm conditioned to know.
Mm-hmm.
Conditioned to know is what my culture has created in me. And the culture is made up of all the ideas and beliefs and wants and of what people think. And I think what others want me to think, not what I think want. I want what they want because I'm conditioned. Okay?
Yes, I understand. That's a very strong tenor of action that's going on all the time. It's like a hum, you know, and it's like a traffic hum you can be close to, but if you can find a little space that's away from that, then it's like there's another hum from another level that can be the key to your life, and that's maybe just the hum of your own heart, you know.
The thing is that for me, there is no escape from that. That's what I am. I am that hope.
Mm-hmm.
The core of my interest or being is hope. That's a fact. There's no place to go.
Yes, but you know, one of your key phrases when I first met you, you'd look at something and say, hopeless. And at that time, I didn't know what it meant, and then you said that hopefulness would interfere with experiencing. And if something interfered with experiencing, it was hopeless. Now, I don't know what you mean by hope now. I think it was a different connotation then. But I did take a sucker with it that it was meaningful, that you had to go beyond the limitations of hope to move into clarity. But I recognize that hope is a part of human nature.
See, I don't even see there's any clarity.
Did you hear?
Well, it all depends on how you look at it and study it.
It all depends, yeah. I don't see there's any clarity at all. Clarity in thought, clarity in thinking, clarity in experiencing. You know, I don't see that at all. What I do see is, you know, the cessation of clarity. Clarity is another form of experience, another form of hope. Hope that I see clearly. See clearly, so I can be clear, safe.
Mm-hmm.
Safe.
I understand. It's a refuge.
To be, there is nothing to be. I am what I am. That's all. That's there, and that's a fact. And you have to deal with that. That's what I feel anyway.
It's great. How great thou art.
Did you hear that, Robert? How great thou art, he said.
Yeah, I heard it.
But,
and I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
Okay, let's move on then. Right?
Yeah. Do we want to move on by bringing up old names, or what? How?
I don't care, wherever it goes. I'm just... You're bringing of me what you want to hear.
Yes, well, I wanted to hear you say what you've said. If anything, the energy that would be in my mind was like, I understand much because even years ago you were speaking much like this, and as I say, it's really like an incredible echo through time. That to me is very, very true, and it probably is more true to me than most because of that long relationship. So keep it up, you know.
I don't think human beings fundamentally change very much. You know, we change.
Yes, I get that.
Style and makeup and so forth, and jobs and interests, but fundamentally. The core of our nature is fundamentally the same. So, yeah, what I thought when I was 16 years old or 25 years old or 40 years old is very similar to what I'm thinking now.
Yes.
I don't see much change there at all. So, you know, that's, you know, I don't see any such thing as growth or change or becoming.
Yeah, there, the becoming, yeah. Being is more significant than becoming anyway.
Yeah, well, being is, you know, if you ask me what is your nature, what's the fundamental nature of human beings or animals, or it seems to be that we just live, we're being, we're alive.
Mm-hmm.
And, but if you capitalize being, then it becomes special.
Yeah, well, awareness in the older dictionaries used to say a quality or state of being.
Yeah.
And so, even though they've got different things now, my reference goes back to that time when I used the word awareness in relation to me or anybody else. It is a quality or state of being. Now, if that becomes defined by the mind, then it gets corrupted, as far as I'm concerned. That the very process of the mind defining awareness or a quality state of being actually corrupts the state of being, and therefore is not awareness. Do you dig it? That this is why I don't believe, so to speak.
I have a slightly different comment or look at it. The state of being is incorruptible. Mind is corrupt. Mind is full of all sorts of...
Right.
And so forth. But the state itself is pure. Simple, pure, uncorruptible. And it's only that the thinking distorts our perception about our world
yes.
that we live in.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, is just simple and pure.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Robert, you said that you have a different view, but David said that. He said that the mind corrupts the being.
Doesn't corrupt the being. That's the thing.
Oh, okay.
The being, is not touched. It's not touched by it.
You get that, David?
But we're living...
I grant that.
Yeah. So, well, you know, the thing is this, is that that we're looking for a state of purity, we call it that, and we already are pure.
Yeah, there you go.
My friend Kunal just came in. He's been up to some temple up in the mountains here doing Durga Puja. That's a big celebration coming up in a couple of days, especially in Bengal. All over India, but especially Bengal, right? Yeah. Durga Puja, she's the goddess that restores the order in the world after the bad demons are fucking it up.
Yeah, you're talking about a friend that's just come into your home.
Yes, yes.
Oh, Kunal.
Oh, it's Kunal that was up there.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, what does Kunal think of awareness versus thought?
Oh, I don't think he's concerned about it.
Yes.
He never fought in that war, Robert?
No.
He never fought in that war.
No, he's a product of the war.
Yeah, of that war. David, you know, I was talking to Robert Carr a few weeks ago about how the state of being is what is created in first nature or by God or a creator, or maybe not created, but it is. And then speech is the externalization of thought. And then all technologies are developments from speech. So we're looking at human-made nature, all our technology and culture, and trying to juggle our pure state of being, which is given to us, with the weird distortions thought and culture gives. And it's the juggling between the two that's the joke and irony of humanity, right?
And in between are the mathematicians that are looking into things. For instance, the cyclotron that's that's been developed in Switzerland, France, somewhere in there, that's the biggest, and then they flashed it off finally. And I loved the quantum physicists that came on and said everybody thought there was going to be a black hole created. And he said the laughable thing is that the event that occurs that they managed to catch and calibrate is happening to everybody on Earth many times a day as these various cosmic elements fly from space through us right into our Earth. So we're processing it all the time. And this is just an attempt to get a momentary look at what is happening to us.
Well, yeah, I don't know what, I mean, physics and astronomers and so forth, astrophysics, they're trying to pinpoint, you know, what happened before the Big Bang.
Yes.
So scientists aren't any different than the religious thinking. It's looking for an answer. It wants to have an explanation of what the hell is it? You know, what the hell happened? And we're not going to find out.
Yeah, imagination creates all kinds of imagery, which creates all kinds of desire. So, in a sense, desire is imagination in disguise. And if you want to deal with desire, you have to look at the imagination and what was done in it to reduce its significance to where it first started.
Okay, my only comment is, how are you going to look at it?
How?
Yes.
As Krishnamurti said, how is the most mischievous word in the human language?
Mischievous.
You just do it.
Yeah, you just do it. Like right now, we all share similar something, and we're using speech to distort our interaction with each other, but we tolerate it. And so we're accepting each other's distortion of what we're saying to each other, but that's the way we share each other.
Yeah, we're trying to understand each other, but basically human beings have a monologue all the time with themselves.
Yes.
So it's very hard to communicate. I'm listening to you, and I have reactions going on and so forth, and I'm trying to sort out those reactions and find out what it is you're trying to say, what it is you're saying. And it's difficult. It's so difficult that I doubt that we rarely communicate, or if communication is possible at all.
Uh-huh. Well, that goes along with the other aspects that you presented. The truth is, simultaneousness is virtually impossible, even with electronics, but even in direct relationship, there's still milliseconds that are apart from the communication and the receiver. And so even though you say, I know, it is only what tuned in a few milliseconds ago. You understand?
Yeah, I understand. Here's the thing. I have a backlog of experiences that are very similar to the kind of experiences you have growing up.
Absolutely.
In a certain culture and so forth. So when we're talking, that background is interpreting what you're saying. That's what's going on. That's the reality. And so I see a fundamental flaw there in that it's just there are two magazines talking to each other, Time Magazine and Newsweek, and that's all that's going on in our conversations. There's your backlog talking to my backlog, And I doubt whether there's even any person really there, or me, that's there. There's just the background talking.
Mm-hmm.
And the background has included an image called self. So it thinks that a self is listening to words, ideas, and so forth, and, to, and looking at its own reactions and so forth, and formulating words, images, and trying to communicate. So it's a struggle, you know. It's very difficult. I don't know if we communicate at all.
But that may not be a problem, that we don't communicate, because we still blabber away with each other.
And yeah, constantly.
And we get pleasure.
That's all we have. Yeah. Right.
You're exchanging images with someone. It's just you wonder if you're how close one image is from one person is exactly replicated in the other person's mind. And sometimes we require similarity of images, and in other situations we don't require similarity of images.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of what's happening to me is seeing that at one point in time was a certain, shall we say, a bookend. And then in living through life, we both have lived about the same amount of time. And as we're talking now, it's like near the point where the other bookend is. And so therefore, that is my experience now, is the bookend on each end, and the flow between it is some kind of an extraordinary experience that is like parallel paths that in some cases were intertwined, but in some cases were just shine back and forth, you know.
Here's about how I can see the situation. There's a river, and that river is moving very fast, and it's very deep and very wide, and has no beginning or no end. And somewhere in that river, we're caught up in the webs and ebbs and current and so forth. And we have no choice. We're just being swept down the river. And this is what basically what the Buddhists call some.
Oh, I think he blipped off, Dave. Just a second.
All right.
He'll come back, and then I'll...
I have certain...
Oh, he's still there.
I have certain aspirations, thoughts, and feelings that are part of that river. They're not really my...
Oh, he's blipping out, Dave, so just a second. We had a problem.
Have similar feelings and aspirations. We're all...
Now he's disconnected, so he'll come back. Yeah, there he is. Robert, we missed about the last 30 seconds. You were talking about the... You were talking about the... Robert? You there, Robert? Now, David, we may have a problem here. Before, we talked, and it was okay, then it blipped off a couple times, and then it couldn't reconnect. And something happened. So you're there? Oh, you're back.
Yeah, it went off, yeah.
Robert, let me just tell you what we heard. You were talking about the big river, and and we're floating down these little eddies, and then you went into your image or something. We didn't get that.
Okay. Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I meet a David or Bob or whoever.
Yeah.
And they have similar, you know, backgrounds and ideas and feelings. And so we have a connection. You know, there's a connection there. But the connection is very deep. It's not really my connection to my surface of my thinking. My thoughts are part of this river. That's where I get the thoughts. The thoughts don't even belong to me. They're the river's thoughts. And you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why
does one person's thoughts resonate with another person's thoughts?
Because we have the same thought. The same thought is operating in us. The same structure of thought is operating in us.
And so much of knowledge is trying to figure out how that is. You could call it astrological.
Well, another way to note it is strings. If you have one string that you pluck, the vibration of that string will transfer over to vibrate another string that wasn't plucked. So that as we receive the vibrations back and forth, their similarities are the vibrations that happen between these sending, receiving, sending.
Interesting thing is that I'm not thinking at all. It's thought is thinking.
Yeah, the string is vibrating.
The string is vibrating regardless of me.
Yeah. And then human knowledge, let me say this, Dave. Human knowledge is we try to develop patterns to sort of control that or get familiarity. So we call them, well, they're of the same astrological sign or they're the same gene racial background. We start categorizing the lumps of similarities as if that is important.
Well, when you go beyond thought, you know, we're talking thought, but one can go beyond thought. It's an energy that is extraordinary. It's actually thought can only reach a million vibes per second, and the experience can be up to once every four quadrillionth of a second.
Just a minute, Robert. David was saying that thought is a million something a second, and then beyond that is a quadrillionth of what? Quadrillion of what, Dave?
Experience. But that one can experience in form up to once every four quadrillions of a second. If you are in thought, you are only up to a million vibes per second.
Okay, Robert, I think is suggesting that we don't get beyond thought. Is that what you were saying, Robert?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's saying, he's denying.
Well, so?
I don't see anything but thought. That's all I see is thought.
Uh-huh.
And David,
anything that is beyond thought is thought-induced.
Well, that's correct, but Dave is saying that you...
How do you know?
You said, how do you
know? Well, anyway, we've explored into that, and it doesn't really matter. The communication, the reality of our being able to communicate after all these years, as well as we have, is a thrill for me as in this whole experience.
Dave,
so I'm experiencing the phenomena that's going on, thought or beyond thought.
It's all right. Hey, David, can you hold up? We missed all that you said the last minute because Robert was talking, and
let's hear what do you have? What he said?
I don't know how much Scott's getting on tape, but Robert, what were you going to say 30 seconds ago? Okay, he's going to say something. Go ahead.
Thought is the only instrument we have, and it's not the right instrument to go beyond thought.
I think Dave's saying the same thing, but he's saying that you can do that.
All right, I'm saying this, that anything beyond thought is speculation on my part. It's thought speculation. I don't know what's beyond thought, if there is such a thing beyond thought.
Experiencing.
Thought can create silence. It can create beyond thought. It can create anything it wants to create. It has that potential, that nature. So I don't see... I see that the idea beyond thought is just a projection of thought, saying beyond thought.
Okay, Dave, how do you...
Yeah. Well, I have one word, discovery.
Discovery.
Yeah.
You can say insight.
Insight.
It's whatever's new. If you look at it with thought, it's old.
Yeah, Robert would agree with that.
Well, I would say this. As long as there's you looking, there's no looking.
Yeah, but that's as long as there's you. Now, the you is only there if it's insisted upon.
Hold it, Robert. Hold it. Dave just said, the you is what, David? Is only there?
Is only there if it's insisted on.
No. You is thought. All it is.
So you're saying, Robert, you would remain there.
You, the you, not me, that takes credit for thinking, is thought. It's the accumulation of all human experiences and the demand to be permanent. That creates the sense of me, which is thought. Thought wants to continue. It doesn't dare break. If it does, it's the end of thought.
Then what?
It's the end of thought if it does break.
And then what?
And then what, Bob?
I better reconnect because it's...
In other words, there's the gap. Oh, spoken to a magician. Oh, I wanted to tell you about a phenomenal experience I had.
Dave, just hold it. We
have all right.
Robert, he's coming in. Are you there, Robert? Sometimes he has to phone several times.
Oh.
I can hear you, Robert.
It's breaking up.
Yeah,
I can hear you, but
it sometimes breaks up. It not as much as you think. We can hear you. Oh, you don't hear us.
I hear you, but it's breaking up.
So, is that what we had the problem the other night? Is that
that's okay now?
Okay. So, Dave wants to. Dave was laughing at the metaphor that you couldn't connect with us. Okay? But now he wants to tell us about an experience. Okay, Dave.
When I went to see Krishnamurti in 1966, I think you were traveling. But David Millett and I went to a magician's conference that they had never allowed anybody but magicians into, in an auditorium. And we went on acid. And as I went in, the red carpet, they greeted me like I was, and finally somebody, after they about 10 or 12 people had greeted me as one of the magicians, somebody came and told them, no, he's not. So I went in and sat down, and all these incredible magicians performed, but the last one was from Australia, and he's an old fellow, and he used 4 billiard balls and made them come and go. Well, I was able to see, and I would titter every move that he made, and pretty soon he came over to the edge of the stage and played directly to me, and I would see it and titter, and it's like there were others were beginning to titter at the same time. It was just almost like catching that magic move, and it just was one of the most incredible moments of my life. And of course, I thought of you and your magicianship, you know.
Okay, he's finished, Robert. Are you there? Uh-oh. I don't know if he heard that.
Well, it's okay. It doesn't matter.
Right. He may be breaking up. And there may be a problem with the system that eventually he cannot get to us. That's what happened to us.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, if we connect again, I would probably bid our adieus or something. How long have we been on?
Almost an hour. Oh, he He's coming back almost an hour.
Hello?
I can hear you, but it's breaking up, Bob. I only hear part of the sound. It breaks up.
All right, so do you want to stop?
What I would like to do is go through the process of our bidding adieu, and then anything after that that we can manage be fine. So I want to wish you the best of everything, Bob, and thank you for the best of everything this direction.
Robert's saying to you, Dave, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anything else?
Okay.
And lots of light around you.
Lots of light around you.
For me?
Yeah. Dave's saying lots of light around you.
Yeah, just take care of yourself and enjoy and count your blessings.
Yes.
Now, Robert, one of these days, I will call you and David. We'll do it by phone.
Okay.
All right. And then,
sometimes Skype is fine.
Yeah, but Dave's not on Skype, and I can call. And the thing is that David, I want you to see what he was saying is that he went to a magician's conference when you were getting ready to see Krishnamurti in Rishi Valley in 66. Did you hear him talk anything about that or did it break up too much?
A little bit, but I didn't get all of it.
Okay.
'66, I was in India.
That's right, Rishi Valley. Yeah, Rishi Valley. When you were going to see Krishnamurti, around that time, David encountered Krishnamurti before he went to India, where you would see Krishnamurti, and he talked about a magician's conference that he and Millett went to on acid, and David was greeted by the magicians as if he was a magician.
Yeah,
and
after, heard that.
Right, you heard that, and then one of them said, no, he's not a magician. But he sat down, and this magician, Australian, started doing tricks with the billiard balls, and Dave, I guess, could see what was going on, started to titter, so the Australian magician played to Dave. Then other people started to titter, because they could see what was going on, and then that was an incredible experience for Dave among the magicians, and he thought of you. That's the point. Right,
yeah.
David?
Yes. Yes, that is right. Thank you very much. But I thought that Bob would appreciate it because it was one of those things that happened on the way to the forum, and here the side trip turned out to be incredible. Okay, well, I hope that you have lots of full trips and all kinds of side trips, and may life continue to be enjoyable. All right, lots of light around you. Hey. Au revoir.
Hey, Dave, I want to tell you something.
David,
I can.
Yes.
You wanted to get this on tape. We got on tape. I now can phone Robert and you, and we can talk, you know, within a few minutes by phone, okay?
Certainly.
I can do that for a while.
You mean now or later?
Now.
Okay.
If Robert's available, I'll call him on his cell phone and then call you.
Okay, wait for a little bit. I want to go to the bathroom.
No, Robert wants to do it another time, okay?
Another time, okay.
All right.
That's excellent, though. I'd love it.
Yeah, and then we'll be able to hear each other, no breaking up. Okay?
Okay, great. All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Right.
Thank you very much. Very good.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Robert.